Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Vaigash. We are in the last day of Hanukkah, meaning yesterday was the eighth night, and today is the last day. We are calling it Zot Hanukkah. This is Hanukkah. It's the highest of the miracle. It's the moment when really the Maccabees realize, wow, 8 days of an amazing miracle. Hold that thought for a second and think about the miracle and realizing what really God did to his people. I want to jump to this week's parasha and start off by saying this. This is a very dramatic parasha. When you read in the beginning of the confrontation between Judah and Yosef, you are really, every year, you're in shivers. It's a real defining moment when Yehuda is pleading for his life. He wants to take responsibility. He wants to be there, the prisoner, to replace Benjamin. Joseph realized how much the friendship, the brotherhood is strong, and then he exposes himself. And from that moment, the parasha is going to go into a stream where Jacob is going to be announced, he's going to come back to Egypt, and the family will be reunited again after all those miserable years. There's a moment there of how exactly you tell an old person that his son that was away for so many years, he was not around. How can you tell him he is alive? You know, we know old people, when you give them news like that, they could, God forbid, go into a heart attack. They could go into a situation that is medical. How do you tell them that the son that thought that was lost all those years is in fact still alive? The Midrash tells us the story and tells us that there are two symbolic acts that were given, that were made thoughtfully to try to play it slow on Jacob, announcing him this big news. Number one is that Asher, son of Jacob, had a daughter. His name is Serach. The Midrash says that Serach was a younger girl, and she was asked to sing a song about it. I don't know exactly the song, the way it went, but I imagine in my head it went something like, Od Yosef Chai, Od Yosef Chai. We usually sing the song Am Yisrael Chai. And on that same tune, I imagine, it's not what happened. She sang a song saying, Joseph is still alive. The Midrash explains that when Jacob overheard this song about Joseph being alive, there was a recognition, there was something there, a spiritual realization that maybe there's something there. Later on, when they will be officially announcing it, it was already in his soul. So in a way, the song penetrated into his brain, into his conscience. Joseph is still alive. The Midrash tells us that because of this, because of what Serach did, was such a great thing, helping her grandfather, she was blessed by long, long life. And we will read her name again in the Exodus. Apparently, she lived for many, many years. Many years because of the act of recognizing and telling her grandfather about Joseph is still alive. But there was something else. It says that Jacob was given by Joseph wagons, agalot. And when he saw that, he realized, Joseph is still alive. The Midrash doesn't help us tell how do you understand the wagons help them to realize who was alive and who died. And it tells another story. Apparently, all the way down there, when Jacob and Joseph were still united, I'm talking when he was only 17, the last thing they learned together, we know that our forefathers also learned those verses of the Torah, or they learn the understanding and stories of the deeper meanings of the Torah. And it was something along the lines of a wagon. I'm not going to go into details, but there's a mitzvah that is going to be in the book of Numbers when there's somebody dies in an area that nobody knows where, the people of the town needs to do a ritual, basically showing that they don't know exactly how it happened. Anyway, there's a wagon there involved as well. There's a wagon that comes from the war that is a young cow. So the understanding is that because of these wagons, he realized Joseph still remembers what was the last topic we were discussing. You understand? After all those years separated, Yaakov still remembers what his son and him learned just before he left. More than that, he understands now that if Joseph sends him this, he probably still is in the same topic in his head, meaning he's still attached with his tradition. He's still connected to his father. He's still connected to the Torah. 22 years, his son is lost. 22 years, he doesn't know what happened with him. And he cares about his son still being part of the tradition. He wants him to be part of it. He's going to be alive. It's great. It's amazing. But what kind of life does he live? He's still part of the tradition. Is he still part of the family? He is still part of the my God. That's a fascinating point to understand. Yesterday, in the 7th, 8th night of Hanukkah, I went to a lightning in a very special place in Tel Aviv. I actually posted about it on our Telegram account. Make sure to follow. Where two rabbis that lost their sons talked and actually sang as well. One was Rabbi Benny Kalmanzon. If you remember, there were two very heroic people that went in Gaza and to Be'eri and collected all the people that were hiding in their home for many, many hours. One of them was Elchanan Kalmanzon. This is the rabbi's son. And he was murdered on the 7th of October. And the next one, the 15th of October, last year, Rabbi Tamir Granot, rabbi in Tel Aviv, that his son was a soldier and died as well. And both of them talked about the story of Hanukkah. And they mentioned something very strong that I want to share. They mentioned that the 8th night, Zot Hanukkah, the day we are standing here, 8 in Judaism, represents above nature. I'll explain. Nature, as the Maharal explains, are all the dimensions. Every object you have, there's like 6 sides to it, right? Here, here, and here. And then there's the inner point. Everything in nature has dimensions. 8, in that way, represents above nature. Above the things that you can explain, above the things that are physical. And he says this is not a mistake that in Judaism we do at the 8th night and the 8th day, Brit Milah. Or in Hanukkah, we connect to the miracles above nature at the number 8. And he says that there's something else in the number 8 that is connected to their sons. To give your life, to act in heroism, that's something that's above nature. When you think about it, the human instinct talks about surviving. And when you are putting in a position that you need to risk your life to somebody else, no matter who this person is, it's a moment that you need to reflect. It's a moment when most of the normal people will stop and say, is it worthwhile? Nature means to survive. Nature means if there's a danger, I'm running to the next direction. Above nature, the number 8, what we are talking about now is to see the fire coming against you. You see the enemy and you attack. Elchanan Kalmanzon sat in his home in the south mountain of Hebron, far away from Gaza. The natural instincts meaning somebody is going to take care of what happened there. But he didn't act like that. He acted and he went and he fought and he did things that are against nature. Same goes to the soldier who goes and sees the fire and he's not afraid. He is going against his instincts, against nature, and he's fighting. I want to say that the story of Joseph is, from the beginning to the end, a story that is exactly a story above nature. It's a story about brothers doing things that are not normal, above nature. There's a story about Joseph who was going through hell in his life. And in that moment of realization that he sees his brother acting and taking responsibility, this is exactly the moment that he understands Joseph, that Judah, the one who stands in front of him, he's also acting around, above, and differently than nature. He is in the same position. His younger son, the daughter of Rachel, is in a problem. He can live away. He can move. He can escape. He can say, it's his problem. He was the one who stole the cap. I have nothing to do with that. But he's acting and taking responsibility above nature, more than nature. And when Joseph sees that, he breaks apart because he sees that his brother took this responsibility. He's acting as a leader. He's taking this courageous moment of realizing if nature means I'm going to ditch the bullet and I'm going to avoid it, I'm going to keep myself safe, it's not me. Judah, the leader, takes the responsibility, acts like the number eights above nature, like our heroic soldiers, like the Maccabees, like all the people who are fighting against their desires, against their lower wills, against nature. The only way to fight and really have resilience in this world, what is it? To know that you can defeat nature. This is Joseph. Joseph the righteous, when he was in the lowest moment with the wife of Potiphar, a 17 years old kid, when all his instincts, his nature said, go with her. And he was able to stand and say, no, I am going to act against nature. I am different. That's what keeps him safe. That's what keeps him righteous. And that's what Jacob saw. When he saw the wagons, he still remembers the last thing we've learned together. This is somebody who acts against his nature. He is still part of the family. He is still a beloved Jew. Shabbat Shalom.